Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with tech stuff from HowStuffWorks.com. Brought to you by HP. Live wirelessly, print wirelessly.
Hey there, kids. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Chris Paulette. I'm an editor here at How Stuff Works, and today I have sitting across the table from me is Jonathan Strickland, one of our writers.
Howdy.
Well, you know, I wanted to know if anybody out there is interested in an old daisy wheel printer. I have one.
Wow. Yeah, that'll get swept up immediately on eBay.
Yeah. Well, we were going to talk about printers today, about different kinds of printers and how they work. And I actually do indeed have a daisy wheel printer at home, which is basically a typewriter. For those of you who are too young to remember what a typewriter is, it basically is a keyboard attached to a printer directly.
Right.
Talk about your wireless printers. You know, that's about as wireless as it gets. But early printers used a wheel with the letters printed in metal, sort of reverse type. And it would, you know, as you typed, the one I've got actually has a keyboard that hooks up to it if you didn't have a computer yet.
Nice.
And you could actually print it out. It would, the daisy wheel spins. It literally does look sort of like a metallic daisy because each key has its own pin and it goes and hits the ribbon and, you know, types out a letter
right,
for you.
Right. The ribbon hits the paper that transfers the ink to the paper and voila, you have the printed word.
There you go. And, it's about as simple, I guess, a printer as you can get in one of the earliest types, but you don't see them very often anymore.
No, golly, I can't imagine why. my father has a dot matrix printer still at his house,
yeah,
which serves as a great paperweight. They're quite heavy. Dot matrix are similar. That's these are the kind of printers we're talking about right now are impact printers, meaning that there's a physical impact that where something contacts the sheet of paper, and that's what makes the printed letter. With dot matrix, it's a series of pins that when they strike the ribbon, that's what forms the letter. So they don't have each letter laid out on a metal sheet or anything like that. It's just little tiny pins that all hit at the same time. So, yeah, you don't see many of those anymore either. These are not also these, if you have ever used one of these, they have a very distinctive sound. And they also, the paper tended to be pretty annoying too, as I recall. Most of them were in those long, long, long sheets where, you'd have to tear it off at the end.
Oh yeah, with the green and yellow stripes with the,
right,
with the little things.
The perforated edges where it would, the holes that would go into. Yeah, exactly. That was, those were a nightmare to work with, trust me. Although you could make some nice origami with the, stuff that you had to tear off those paper. That was lovely. But that's sort of in the past. There's still lots of industries that use impact printers because they're, you know, relatively inexpensive and you know, they last for a pretty long time. You do have to do maintenance on them, but most people have moved to non-impact printers. And the two main versions of that, the two that you find most in the consumer market and even in the office environment are inkjet printers and laser printers, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, there are other types too. In fact, I'll go ahead and run through them so we can get them out of the way.
Sure.
So, other forms of non-impact printers. I kind of wish we had like background music for this. Who knows? Maybe our producer Jerry will figure something out, so we'll have a little mood to hear to set up the atmosphere.
Actually, I've prepared a PowerPoint, so if you could all imagine what it looks like as you are listening to us talk,
right,
then you know that won't
the power
work out
of
well. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. It's stunning.
It is stunning. I don't know how he got this color saturation, to tell you the truth. But let's start with we have solid ink printers, which I think you are going to talk about a little bit later because you have some sort of weird fascination with solid ink.
Yeah, well, it's just one of those things that's sort of really cool. Anyway, you were going to talk about the different kinds of printers. I'll get
into
that.
We'll go back to it. All right. You have the dye sublimation printers, which uses transparent film to transfer ink to paper. It uses a heat to do that. There's thermal wax printers, which are kind of combination of dye sublimation and solid ink. You've got thermal autochrome printers, and that's where you have the ink in the paper already, and you just use heat to make the ink to make letters visible. So these are your other forms. Now those are they make up a minority of all the non-impact printers that are on the market. Like I said, the two biggies are inkjet and laser printers. Now, did you want to talk about solid ink before we move on?
Well, you know, solid ink is fascinating to me simply because, you know, it's actually pretty simple. When you're loading your, and we're talking about color printers here, so it's not just, you know, black. You can actually use a color printer. And instead of putting in a plastic cartridge filled with a liquid ink or putting powdered toner in, like you would with an inkjet or a laser, respectively, you actually use a block of solid ink. It sort of looks like a giant square crayon, or some of them aren't even square. This is a Xerox thing. I mean, it's Xerox's baby. They're, as far as I know, the only ones who actually manufacture these. But they're pretty cool. They don't use any cartridges. What it does is, essentially it melts, this resin-based non-toxic ink, and use the ink, it goes on the print head, which transfers it onto the print drum. So when the paper goes through the printer, the print drum actually transfers the image onto there using heat and pressure. So that's kind of a different technique to, you know, spraying it, which is what you do with inkjet printers.
Right,
inkjet
right.
printers make, you know, complete sense from hearing their name. It's a jet of ink being sprayed onto the paper to make letters or pictures or whatever it is.
Right. And, it's a spray that's very, very fine, a very fine spray. The drops are tend to be between 50 and 60 microns in diameter. So that's pretty small. Human hair, something I don't know much about, is about the diameter of 70 microns. I'm follically challenged. But yeah, so these are very tiny dots that come out in really fast bursts. So several bursts per second. I mean, it's remarkably fast. In fact, it's so fast that to us, usually if you see a piece of paper going into an inkjet printer, a good inkjet printer, it looks like it's constantly moving. It's really starting and stopping, but it's doing it at such a high speed that it looks like it's a constant movement. But, yeah, you have all these little tiny nozzles in an inkjet printer that emit the ink. And, they do it in a couple of different ways. But that's the basic principle behind it. Eventually, when the paper comes out, the ink dries, and you've got your printed page, as opposed to, say, the solid ink format where you actually let the ink cool. It's almost like a candle. Like if you melted a candle and then let the wax cool and it solidifies again. That's sort of the way solid ink works, whereas the inkjet type stuff, it just kind of dries. So that's what you end up with, the letters on the page.
Speaking of which, it's not the kind of thing you want to get wet.
Right.
Because speaking from personal experience, if you are working on something and you like spill your coffee on it or something, or a glass of water, you're pretty much going to ruin an inkjet printed page. I think they've gotten, it depends on the paper and things that, you know,
right.
Depending on how well it soaks in, of course, depending on how well it soaks in, you can have really splotchy pages just from the inkjet printing on it.
Right, right.
I had
yeah.
an early inkjet that was bad about that. I had to use a certain quality of paper with a certain amount of clay content for it to actually show up and not completely seep in and make a giant blob in the middle of the page.
Yeah, you could see that in even high quality printers. If you don't maintain them and clean them often enough, then you're going to have some smearing issues with inkjets.
That's and true. The nozzles can clog too,
right,
and cause
exactly.
problems. And
there's two different kinds of nozzles. We might as well mention
nozzles.
Those as well. There's the thermal bubble nozzle, which of course
the bubble jet printers.
Right, exactly. Yeah. The bubble jet printers.
Sort of a subset of the
right.
inkjet family.
Creates a small bubble. When the bubble bursts, it creates a vacuum, draws ink through the nozzle, sprays on the paper. Really exciting science stuff. The other one's even more sciencey, if you can believe it. Settle yourself. Here it goes. The piezoelectric
Ooh.
Crystal method.
Oh, yeah.
Now, a piezoelectric crystal, that's the kind of crystal that if you run an electric charge through it, it changes shape. And vice versa. If you change the shape of the crystal, it emits an electric charge. These are the sort of crystals that are in things like watches to keep time,
yeah.
because they're very predictable. You know, depending on the material you're talking about, you know exactly how it's going to change shape depending on how much of an electrical charge you pass through it. So in this case, these crystals kind of act as a valve for the nozzle, and as the printer runs an electric charge through it, it allows ink to pass through or blocks ink from passing through, and that's how those work. So I guess we can move on over to the most dangerous printer in the world, the laser jet, laser
well,
printer.
These also use positive and negative electrical charges to help with the printing process.
Right.
I've actually a little uncertain as to which charge, but initially the drum inside the printer – which is a smaller version of the one you might see if you watch a video about how they make newspapers or magazines. You see these giant drums rotating on a press. Well, there's a smaller version of that inside the laser printer sitting on your desk or, you know, down the hall at your workplace. And basically, they charge the drum and put toner on the drum, and a laser passes over it. And when the paper goes through, it gets the opposite electrical charge, and that helps transfer the image onto the paper.
Right. The laser just provides the correct charge to the right spots on the toner, so that way the toner that is charged that way will transfer. All the rest of the toner won't transfer, because otherwise all you would end up with is, you know, a sheet completely covered in toner. So it's kind of neat that they're using lasers to do this, that it's this really precise way to transfer ink from the drum onto the page. And then after that goes on, the drum rotates, another lamp, a very powerful lamp is shown on the drum itself, which clears the charge, so it prepares it for the next page. Because if you didn't do that, then you would end up with ghost images of previous pages. So you would end up seeing like everything on page two, you would start to see little ghost images of stuff from page one. And then page three, the page one images would be slightly lighter, but then you'd also have the page two, and it would be a big mess. So you have to have a way to clear the drum after each sheet. And that's how they do it. They use this lamp to clear it.
And then as one last step before the page leaves the printer, it goes through what's called a fuser, which essentially melds the – I really wanted to use the word meld.
Nice.
that melds the toner on into the paper fibers. So basically it you know, fuses it together, glues it together on there so it appears in those letters until you put it in a vinyl notebook, leave it there for a while, then peel it off to find all the toner is stuck on the vinyl, and now you have it on your notebook in reverse.
Wow.
Again, I know this from personal experience.
I was detecting a little note of bitterness in that.
Well, so which one's better for which? Well, if you're looking for crisp colors, if you're looking for speed, you know, which printer is best for which application?
In general, I think laser printers tend to be the fastest. They're usually faster than your inkjets. Although if you're printing a lot and you're printing in a hurry, you should also be careful because those pages come out awfully hot from the fuser. If you're running a pretty powerful printer, I speak from personal experience.
Hot off the press.
Yes, exactly. It is literally hot off the press. You could actually scorch yourself a little. Now the paper is moving really fast through the fuser, so it won't normally scorch
it doesn't
or
catch
burn
fire.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless of course something has gone horribly wrong with your laser printer, in which case that could theoretically happen. But yeah, I find laser printers to be the best if you're looking for something like a high quantity print job. If you're printing something that's like, say you're printing reports and you're printing out 100 reports and each report's 40 pages long, a laser printer is going to do it a lot faster than an inkjet.
Or your local copy center.
Well, your local copy center is very likely using a laser printer.
Yes, it's gonna be quick.
So it's still the same. I doubt that they've got the Gutenberg press back there. So I would go with laser most of the time. I mean, now granted, for my own personal use, I have an inkjet, because I don't tend to do high volume print jobs. So it's, and inkjet, the quality's nice. The cartridges aren't too terribly expensive. So that's what I stick with.
Yeah, they can, that's what you find for your photo printers.
Right.
Your digital photo printers.
Exactly.
So the quality of the image is considerably better.
Well, I think we're all printed out. I think we should lay this one to bed. So if you guys want to learn more about printers, you should read How Inkjet Printers Work and How Laser Printers Work, both of which are live right now on HowStuffWorks.com.
I didn't even know Steve Gutenberg had a press.
I'm going to hit you so hard.
Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.